Thank you very much, Lynn. Such a sweet introduction. I appreciate it. Hello, everyone. Happy, happy Sunday. We are now in the traditional holiday season, and I enjoy listening to my holiday music collection during the holiday season. It means for about 1 month out of the year, I'm listening to different music than my usual playlist, and it's kind of fun for the variety. I like the variety anyway. So I'm going to get us started tonight by playing a song from my holiday playlist. Let's see, the song we're going to listen to tonight is by a singer by the name of Francesca Battistelli, and the name of this song is Heaven Everywhere.
Bells are ringing loud and clear. You can't help but love this time of year. It's Christmas time and there's something in the air. There's a little bit of heaven everywhere. Mm-hmm. Somehow there's a little more of love.
Yeah, I love that one line that I wrote into the room where she says, there's a little more of love, maybe a little less of us. Because I think that's what makes true love, is less of us, when the word us, of course, equals the ego or the personal self. So if there's definitely going to be more love when there's less of us. How are you doing, Jamie? Every now and then Jamie stares at things that I can't see, and she's doing that right now. She sees something or appears to see something that I can't see. That happens every now and then, doesn't it, sweetheart? Yeah, so it's happening right now. So maybe someone has come to listen to the teaching. I don't know. but we're here for the 7 steps to awakening. I'm a little tired. I don't know if you can hear that in my voice. We've been traveling all weekend. I just got home a little bit ago, so I'm a little tired. But typically when I start teaching, the energy kind of picks me up. Right now I feel like I could curl up and go to bed quite easily. I'm going to be starting with quote number 605. And this is a quote from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. I read this quote last week, but we didn't go in and look at the journal. So if the quote sounds familiar, that's why. Let me put the link in the room. In fact, let's see if my copy and paste is working this week. It had quit working again the last time I tried it, but let's try it again. Nope, it's not working. So I can't put the link in the room. So y'all will just have to listen tonight, I guess. All right, so here is the quote from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. You have never been nor shall ever be a person. Refuse to consider yourself as one. You have never been nor shall ever be a person. Refuse to consider yourself as one. The quote is quote number 605. And I'll tell you how you can get to it if you want to, Lynn. Just go to rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. Just go to that first. And then click on step three. Click on step three. And then scroll down to D, which is number 601 to 625. If you scroll down to D and click on it under step three, then you'll be able to find 605 under that. And from there, you'll be able to get the link and share it. And let's see. The date on the link is September 27th. So I don't know why my copy and paste lately, you know, it didn't work for a while, then it started working again, and now it's quit working again. I have no idea what that's about. It's kind of strange. But let me read the quote one more time, and then we'll go look at the journal. You have never been, nor shall ever be, a person. Refuse to consider yourself as one. So this is what it says in the journal at number 605. The I thought is the sneakiest of thoughts. It is let in with the guard asleep at the door. The guard is asleep because he is dreaming he is a person. Wake up from the I am a person idea, and the I thought will not slip unnoticed through the door. One thing that I've been noticing lately, and I suppose this is absolutely natural, but I don't know, the last month or 2 months, I really don't know how long it's been, I've just been noticing how strong ego is in me. And that's really kind of funny, and I'll tell you why it's funny. Because relatively, there is a whole lot less ego than there used to be. Just incredibly less. And yet with that incredibly less, I'm just noticing how much is there. And like I said, I suspect this is completely natural because I have read poems written by great saints, not fully awakened, you know, not like the Ramana Maharishis or the Nisargadatta Maharajas, but great, great saints. And I've read where these great saints write about what great sinners they are. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we're looking at some of the greatest saints in the world, And I think sometimes people look at them and say, gosh, if he was a sinner or if she was a sinner, you know, what about me? Because, I'm so much, they're so pure compared to what I am. But I think what happens is that as we let go of more and more ego, we also at the same time become more and more aware of ego. Because, you know, it's ego that hides ego from us. Like, it's not ego that teaches you to notice ego in the mind. That's what we call spirit or Holy Spirit. It's clarity that sees the ego, not ego that sees the ego. Ego denies itself, hides itself, lies about itself, right? So what happens, I think, is that as we truly become more and more pure, because we've let go of more and more and more ego, we actually see ego more and more. So it's kind of funny. And so we realize, oh my gosh, there's just so much ego here. It doesn't even have to be spiritual ego. It could be spiritual ego, but it's just ego in general. Ego being a sense of a me. You know, it just becomes more obvious. And right now, I suppose, you know, I'm just looking at how to be as honest as possible in words. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I can have a clarity that I haven't expressed in words before. And once you put it in words and people hear it through the filters of their minds, they can hear something entirely different. So it can sometimes be a challenge to put things into words. But it feels like there's just so much me. There's just so much me. And one thing I've noticed is I'm going to call it a great growing tired of me. That's the part I don't want to be misunderstood, because that can sound like a judgment, and it's not a judgment actually. But there's a great growing tired of me. Jan Fraser's first book, When Fear Falls Away, very early in the book, if you read that book, she talks about how until she awakened, she did not realize how, not only how much ego was in even a kind spiritual person like herself, she says she didn't realize how destructive the ego was in even a kind spiritual person like her. Until she awoke, she did not realize how destructive the ego was, even in a kind spiritual person like her. I know there are a lot of people that have no idea how much ego they still express, live by. I mean, you can see it in them. You can see they just have no idea how much ego there is. I am aware, and what it's resulted in lately, being aware of how much ego is here, is it's resulted in, a tiredness, and not a physical tiredness, not even a mental tiredness, but just tired of me. I don't know how else to express it. I wish I could find different words, but I can't. Lena's saying, wake up from the I am a person idea and the I thought will not slip unnoticed through the door. Oh, you're quoting from the number 605 again. Yeah, let me read number 605 again. This is true for all of us, unless, of course, someone is listening that really is awakened. Just some of us may be more aware of it than others. but it's true for all of us. The I thought is the sneakiest of thoughts. It is let in with the guard asleep at the door. The guard is asleep because he is dreaming he is a person. Wake up from the I am a person idea, and the I thought will not slip unnoticed through the door. So maybe the question comes then, how do I wake up from the I am the person idea? I'm going to go on to quote 606. I see Lori is saying a tiredness. Yes, it is tiring to try to keep believing the untrue. So good. I'm glad there's understanding there. Thank you, Lori. All right, so I'm going to read number 606. First of all, of course, I'm going to read the quote from Nisargadatta Maharaj. This is a little bit of a long quote. The person is merely the result of a misunderstanding. In reality, there is no such thing. Feelings, thoughts, and actions race before the watcher in endless succession, leaving traces in the brain and creating an illusion of continuity. A reflection of the watcher in the mind creates the sense of I, and the person acquires an apparently independent existence. In reality, there is no person, only the watcher identifying himself with the I and the mind. Now, we've talked about this before. I've shared this before during the Seven Steps teaching. I use different words than Nisargadatta Maharaj, but usually whenever anyone comes to clarity within themselves, their own vocabulary seems to come with it. That's not unusual. So my words are different than his, but I know that we're talking about the same thing. He says that the watcher, he says there's a reflection of the watcher in the mind, and that reflection of the watcher is creating the sense of I, and it creates the apparently independent existence. But in reality, there's no person. And then he says it's only the watcher identifying himself with the I and the mind. So the watcher that he's referring to here, what I've called it when I talked about the same principle, is I called the watcher awareness. The watcher and awareness are synonymous. And what I've spoken about before is that awareness is general. And as Nikki pointed out to me, some people, instead of using the word general, they use the word impersonal. But I always use the word general. Awareness is very general. And in fact, awareness is right here, right now. A general awareness is here right now. And it's kind of funny how it can be so incredibly present, and at the same time, we don't pay any attention to it most of the time. But, you know, if you want to just start by experiencing your general awareness, usually, you know, the best way to do it is just to really relax. Maybe take a deep breath to help you relax. And then maybe start by listening. And when I listen, what I hear is the tick of a clock behind me. I hear a ringing in my ears. I hear a slight motor sound coming from the computer. Of course, I hear my own voice. And as I continue to relax, I can also notice what I feel. I can actually feel the air going in and out of my lungs as I breathe. I can feel I can feel my lungs filling and then emptying again. I can feel my feet pressed against the floor. I can feel my butt and the backs of my thighs pressed against the seat of the chair. I can feel my back against the back of the chair. I can feel my arms against the side of my body and my hands are folded in my lap. I can actually even feel the bend in my elbows. I can feel some kind of tingling around the face, the ears, the throat, the heart. And as I kind of relax into being aware of all of that at once, not focusing on anything, just being generally aware of all that I hear and all that I feel, that's general awareness. It's nonspecific. It's not concentrating itself on anything. It is just being. You could say it's just being aware. You could say it's just watching. Right? Being aware of sounds and feelings is the same as watching sounds and feelings. And this very general awareness is not identified with anything. It just is with everything. It just is. Now, if you take that very general awareness, and you remember something from your day, it could be anything. And start focusing your attention, you know, for me it feels like in the middle of the front forehead, on the thought of what happened earlier in the day, whatever I'm remembering. And focus in a little bit and remember as much detail as you can about whatever memory you're calling back. If you were feeling something or thinking something while this was happening, you know, recall what you were feeling or what you were thinking. If you really concentrate on a memory, recall a conversation, for example, or think about a mistake that you made and think about how, you know, you could have done that differently. Or think about a problem that you saw on TV, some kind of a world problem that needs to be solved, and just really, really focus on it. If you do this, you will notice that you move away from this general relaxed awareness to a tight focus, I call it constricted awareness, almost like a flashlight beam. And right now we're doing this in an artificial environment, but what happens usually in the environment that's actually occurring within the mind is that as we're focused on problems, as we're focused on judgments, as we're focused on our own shortcomings, the shortcomings of others, that constriction of attention becomes so tight and so focused that we actually lose general awareness. Not really, it's still there. But there's no more awareness of it. We no longer hear the clock ticking. We no longer notice the breathing. We no longer notice the body sitting in a chair. We're just focused on the spinning of the mind. That is the watcher becoming identified with the belief in I and mind. Mine. You know, if I'm thinking about something that you said to me that triggered something in me, and I'm thinking about our next conversation and how I'm going to convince you to see things differently, see things my way, think with me, and I'm running over what you're going to say and what I'm going to say. My mind, my awareness is so constricted into attention and focused on those thoughts that I don't hear anything else. But what is that attention that's so focused on thought? Isn't it really still awareness? Isn't it somehow like awareness becomes tight and constricted and projected into thoughts and then identified with thoughts? If you watch this, you can feel it happen. This is why so much about spirituality is asking us to rest or relax or breathe. We're returning from that constricted awareness, which is attention, focus, and moving into a general, relaxed awareness. Unidentified, impersonal, as Nikki pointed out. I call it general, but she said many people call that impersonal because it's unidentified. It's not identified with the I. It is just present with whatever is. So people ask all the time, well, how does the truth come to be, you know, thinking, how does the truth come to think it's a person? How does that happen? We just looked at that. We just looked at exactly how that happens. And then that becomes a habit. A habit energy, the Buddhists would call it. And we find ourselves sucked into that attention on our thoughts and our perceptions all the time, so much so that we become blind. We've been completely forgetful of who we are. We think we are whatever those thoughts that we're focused on say we are. And even as those thoughts change, we become so ignorant. That's the word that's used when we do this. We become so ignorant that one day those thoughts can be singing, you know, I feel pretty, oh so pretty, I feel pretty and witty and gay. You know, and on those days we believe that, oh, I'm so pretty in this dress, so pretty. And then the next day those thoughts are saying, oh my God, you're so fat and ugly. Look at that belly. How could you have eaten so much? And we believe that. We go from pretty to ugly. Lightning speed. Smart to dumb, lightning speed, loving to selfish, lightning speed. And we don't even notice how conflicted those self-identifications are. That's ignorance. We just believe whatever the thoughts are saying. Yeah, from charming to vindictive. She's got the idea. This is why the teaching of Inner Ramana tells us that our job is to lose interest in our thoughts. Oh yeah, and Barb is quoting Jan Fraser. This is the same teaching, again, her own words, but listen to this. It's the exact same teaching. She says, you can opt not to tighten against this moment instead of flooding it with presence. Oh, instead flooding it with presence, being, just being the generalness. Yeah. You can opt not to tighten against this moment. Instead flooding it with presence, with isness, with being, with generalness. Isn't this what rest, accept, and trust is trying to teach us? It's trying to get us out of one habit and into beingness again. So let me read what Nisargadatta has said again. So this is quote 606 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. The person is merely the result of a misunderstanding. In reality, there is no such thing. Feelings, thoughts, and actions race before the watcher in endless succession, leaving traces in the brain and creating an illusion of continuity. A reflection of the watcher in the mind creates the sense of I, and the person acquires an apparently independent existence. In reality, there is no person, only the watcher identifying himself with the I and the mind. All right, let's go and look at the journal and see what the journal has to say. Number 605. Oh, nope, we're on number 606, so let me move on to 606. The mind is a dream. Like the unreal thoughts and images that lure one away from consciousness into unconscious sleep, the mind's thoughts and images lull alert awakeness into the illusion of world, body, person, and individual mind. So let me just talk a little bit about this, because I have to point out then, this is my personal journal. So when I'm writing this, although I do share it with you all, I don't really write it for someone else's understanding. I'm not writing like a teacher writing for others. This is just me writing with me. So I understand fully what's here, and I may not have written it in a way that someone else can really read it and understand it. But some of you may remember, until recently, until I went to Santa Barbara, I did not seem to have the ability to meditate. When I would sit down to meditate, within 10 minutes or so, I would fall asleep every time. And my experience of falling asleep during meditation was always the same. I would, you know, be very relaxed, maybe too relaxed. And just before I started to fall asleep, little dream images would start happening. It's like I would leave, you know, I would leave the realization that I was sitting in a chair meditating and go into another world. That other world would begin to develop. And the world may have appear to be sane, or it could appear to be completely insane. You know, it could be purple elephants with polka dots walking on, you know, bouncing along on top of the water or something like that. But, you know, something, some kind of images would actually come in to lull me away from this presence into a complete dreamlike presence. So as I'm writing this, as I'm contemplating what Nisargadatta is saying in 606, it's reminding me of that experience I had during meditation of being lulled to sleep by these imaginary images that were coming to life in my mind. Because those images would attract my attention. And as I gave them my attention, they literally carried me off into sleep. And what Nisargadatta is saying is that the same thing happens here. You know, if my thoughts about you and what you said to me and how I didn't want you perceiving me that way and I need to change how you perceive me, if I give my attention to those thoughts are literally lulling me off into the dream that I am a person. You see, it's the exact same phenomena. So that's why, again, 606 in the journal says, the mind is a dream. Like the unreal thoughts and images that lure one away from consciousness into unconscious sleep, so that's referring to my meditation experience, like the unreal thoughts and images that lure one away from consciousness into unconscious sleep, the mind's thoughts and images lull alert awakeness into the illusion of world, body, person, and individual mind. Alert awakeness. General awareness. Non-identified isness. Gets sucked into believing it's a person as it gets sucked into these thoughts, these feelings. Again, Nisargadatta said, feelings, thoughts, and actions, and what we see in the world. Feelings, thoughts, and actions race before the watcher in endless succession, right? And as the mind gets, as the awareness gets caught into paying attention to this, brings its focus to this, it lulls it away from being aware of awareness. And it believes itself to be a person in a world. And again, you know, just like last week when I was teaching, I said, you don't have to believe anything that I'm saying because you can actually observe this in yourself. You can see that it's true. You don't have to believe Nisargadatta. You don't have to believe Regina Dawn Akers. It's just now that this has been brought to your attention, you just have to watch. And you'll notice that when you get sucked into a story in your mind, at that moment, how much you believe you are a person. You cannot be sucked into a story in the mind and know yourself as the true self or as general awareness at the same time. No belief required here. Not even trust. Just observe. So number 606 again says the mind is a dream. Like the unreal thoughts and images that lure one away from consciousness into unconscious sleep, the mind's thoughts and images lull alert awakeness into the illusion of world, body, person, and individual mind. So when we were looking at 605 talked about how the I thought is the sneakiest of thoughts, right? And the guard is asleep at the door and lets the I thought in. Now we're seeing what puts the guard asleep at the door. And it's listening to these stories of mind. Getting lulled into these stories of mind. So if we know getting lulled into these stories of mind is putting the guard at the door asleep so that this I thought can really get in there and really emphasize the idea that I am a person, it means that the answer to the question, how do I let go of believing I'm a person? The answer to that question is exactly the answer that's given in the teachings of Inner Ramana, and that is lose interest in the mind. Don't listen to the stories at the door, exactly. As we lose interest in the mind, we also stop believing that we're the person because it's the interest in the mind that is creating the belief that we're the person. I'm going to go on to number 607. I'll start by reading Nisargadatta's quote. The quote is, "The sense of identity will remain, but no longer identification with a particular body. Being, awareness, love will shine in full splendor. Liberation is never of the person, it is always from the person." Now this is interesting because Nisargadatta is obviously using the word identity differently than I ever have before, because if you go back and read my journals and anything that's been written through me, you'll notice that whenever I use the word identity, I am talking about something specific. You know, so identity with Regina Dawn Akers, identity with being a woman, identity with being a dumbass, identity with being really responsible. You know, it's always identity with something, right? And so that sense of identity, the way that I define it previously with the specific, that does not remain. And so this is one reason why sometimes when people read one form of spirituality a lot and they get used to words being used in a particular way and then they start reading another form of spirituality, there can be a culture shock maybe. There can be resistance because words are used differently. So here Nisargadatta is using the word identity in a different way than I have in all of my previous writings. Because he says the sense of identity will remain. But how do we know that he is using it differently? How do we know that he isn't trying to tell us we will still be identified with something? Well, we know because of how his sentence continues. The sense of identity will remain, but no longer identification with a particular body. Being, awareness, love will shine in full splendor. So see, he's talking about a non-specific sense of self. And I don't even like using the word sense of self, but again, you know, words are really tough, but I do have something to relate it to, and maybe this will help. Most of you all, maybe everyone in this room right now, has heard the story of when my awareness shifted from being Regina into an apple. And I've told you all that when I had that experience, it was in no way the experience of being a human. There were no thoughts, you know, there was no brain, there were no labels, you know. As I've told you before, if you had asked me, what are you? I could not have said I'm an apple because, you know, those types of ideas didn't exist. You know, none of that existed. And there was no thought I, that did not exist. There were no concepts at all. But the only way I can describe it with words was that there was still an I. I don't know how else to say that. I think Ramana Maharshi calls it the I, the real I. It wasn't an I like the I thought. But yet, there was a self. Not a sense of self like the ego, individual, separate sense of self. You know, I mean, how do you say these things? I don't know how to say these things. But, you know, I think what the ego tries to tell us at some point, maybe, you know, at some point maybe we cease to believe this, but at some point the ego tries to tell us that, you know, if we awake, somehow the I gets annihilated, like I won't exist anymore. And that is both true and false. You know, at least that was my experience as the apple. That is both true and false. There was absolutely no Regina there. There was absolutely no human there. There was absolutely no brain there. There was absolutely no thinking there. You know, in that way, the I was completely annihilated. And yet, the watcher of the experience, the awareness aware of the experience was still there. So in that way, the I was annihilated, and you could say the true I was realized. And so this is what Nisargadatta means when he says the sense of identity will remain. You know, there's still, even though it's not the sense of self that is the ego, there is the watcher, the awareness aware is still there, and that way there is still an I. So Nisargadatta says again, the sense of identity will remain, but no longer identification with a particular body. Now these next three words are hyphenated as if they are one thing, being, awareness, love. Right? That's his description of what the new identity is. Being, awareness, love will shine in full splendor. And then liberation is never of the person. It is always from the person. Liberation is never of the person. The person is never liberated. We are liberated away from believing we are a person. So I'm going to go to the journal now, and I have a 607A, which means I contemplated this a little longer and came up with additional scene as well. But here's the first thing that came as I contemplated this quote. Beingness does not end in awakening. That's how I worded this sentence that Nisargadatta, when he says the sense of identity will remain, right? I said beingness does not end in awakening. Only being something in particular time and place ends. Being limited ends. Being specific and temporary ends. Beingness itself is known. Known free of the limits of being something specific. So again, that's really the contemplation of just this very first sentence. The sense of identity will remain, but no longer identification with a particular body. Beingness does not end in awakening. Only being something in particular time and place ends. Being limited ends. Being specific and temporary ends. Being itself is known. Whoops. Yeah, thank you very much. I think someone took the mic from me, Lori. But that person is now appropriately red dotted. And so let me start again. Thank you, Dove. So again, I'll start at the top of 607A. Beingness does not end in awakening. Only being something in particular time and place ends. Being limited ends. Being specific and temporary ends. Being itself is known. Known free of the limits of being something specific. So let me move on now to 607B. 607B again is still contemplating this quote from Nisargadatta. Let me go ahead and read the quote again. The sense of identity will remain, but no longer identification with a particular body. Being, awareness, love will shine in full splendor. Liberation is never of the person. It is always from the person. All right, so let me read 607B in my journal. Although it is difficult to imagine liberation without I and without world, let go of all ideas of me, free and happy, a body, and a pleasing world. Let go of all ideas of I, awakening. Instead, stay focused on practice in unknowing trust. Be present now, letting go of all thinking and imagining. Be focused in devoted trust, letting go of thoughts. Earlier, Barb talked about the spiritual ego. And so now is an appropriate time to talk about the spiritual ego. The spiritual ego is still the same phenomenon of not being general awareness, but being the constricted attention focused on thought. It's still that. You know, maybe if I'm really, really spiritual, I'm focused on thinking about A Course in Miracles or NTI or the Bhagavad Gita. I'm focused on thinking about what I think a certain passage means compared to what somebody else in Facebook thinks a certain passage means. Maybe I'm thinking about how I want to tell them I'm right and they're wrong. But you see, it's the same ego, right? Can you hear that? You know, once upon a time, I may have thought about my job more. And now I'm thinking about my interpretation of the course more. But other than that, nothing's changed. See, it's the same ego. And also, you know, what the ego does, because the ego can't imagine not being I, something specific. So the ego imagines that when I am liberated, Well, different egos imagine different things, but some of the things that I've heard egos imagine is when I'm a liberated, I've heard some people say, everybody will love me. When I am liberated, everybody will love me. When I am liberated, I will be healthy. Listen to that. You know, that's total identification with the body, right? When I am liberated, I will be healthy all the time. I've heard people say, when I am liberated, I will be able to manifest whatever I want. You know, that we can't imagine. Lori says, I will not eat hamburgers anymore. That's right. When I am liberated, I will always eat healthy food. You know, we can't imagine without the I. And so whatever we imagine enlightenment to be, whatever we imagine awakening to be, there's an I in the story of our imagination. And when we're imagining this enlightened self, we're actually doing the same thing that ego always does. We're constricting our awareness into a tight attention and focusing it on our fantasy of awakening. That is no different than focusing it on my fantasy of when I get married someday. I mean, you know, it's the same, mechanically it's the same thing. It's still doing the exact thing that keeps the ego strong. Remember, the teachings of Inner Ramana asks us to lose interest in thought. It doesn't ask us to lose interest in certain types of thoughts. It asks us to lose interest in the thinking completely. Unfortunately, it also gives us some tools to help us do that. So let's listen to 607B again. Listen to the advice that is given here. Although it is difficult to imagine liberation without I and without world, let go of all ideas of me free and happy, a body and a pleasing world. Let go of all ideas of I awakening. I don't have NTI at my fingertips here. I'm not sure where I've placed it, but it's not where I can reach out and grab it. But if I could, I would read to you from the book of Luke, where Holy Spirit and NTI asks us to let go of all of our expectations of awakening. And says that our expectations of awakening keep us from awakening. And this is really saying the same thing, and we're even seeing exactly why. Because our expectations of awakening are mechanically the same process of any other ego maintaining process. I'll call it an ego maintaining process. Constricting awareness into attention and focusing on thought. That is the ego maintaining process. Constricting awareness into attention and focusing it on thought. And so whether we're doing that, thinking about how much I hate so-and-so over there, or whether we're doing that, imagining ourselves as an awakened master, we're still doing the same thing. You see, it's the same habit. The object of the attention has changed, but not the actual mechanics of the attention. They're the same. So 607B says, although it is difficult to imagine liberation without I and without world, let go of all ideas of me, free and happy, a body in a pleasing world. Let go of all ideas of I awakening. If every time our attention got constricted into even these thoughts, if we noticed, wait, this is still awareness and attention projected into a thought. If we just saw the mechanic of it, right? Wait a minute, this is still awareness projected into attention projected into thought, right? And then relax back into general awareness. That's what's helpful. Do you see? that the stories shift and change. As we become wise to one story, as we become wise to the realization, I don't want to hold grievances anymore. As we become wise to the realization, I don't want to think judgmental thoughts about others or myself anymore, other stories just form. Because you know what? The mind doesn't care which thought gets our attention. The mind only cares that thought gets our attention. So yeah, Ron is asking, what about this thought? I'm awakened. Any thought. I mean, I have A Course in Miracles here. I feel like I read this paragraph twice a week in this room. But, you know, I mean, listen to this. What thought does this say we can think? Listen. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world. All images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad. Of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. So you see, don't even get caught up in our spiritual thoughts. Just notice, start paying attention to the mechanic itself. When awareness is being constricted into attention and focused on thought, and you see that, it doesn't matter what thought it is. Relax and return to general awareness. It's really quite simple when we quit being fooled by the different thought contents. Right? Look for the mechanics. So again, 607B says, although it is difficult to imagine liberation without I and without world, let go of all ideas of me, free and happy, a body and a pleasing world. Let go of all ideas of I awakening. Instead, stay focused on practice in unknowing trust. Unknowing trust. So you don't have to know why you're practicing. You don't have to know what the result's going to be. You don't have to know what awakening is. Unknowing trust. Stay focused on practice in unknowing trust. Be present now. And that present now is the same as general awareness. Be present now. Generally aware now. Letting go of all thinking and imagining. Letting go of all thinking and imagining. Be focused and devoted trust. Letting go of thoughts, period. Not certain types of thoughts. Be focused and devoted trust. Letting go of thoughts. So that's it for the 7 steps teaching today. Ron says, perhaps there is much thought process that blocks the awareness of being awake. Amen. Amen, brother. Whose quote was the last one? The very last thing I was reading was Regina Dawn Akers. That was from her journal. All right, so what I'm going to do now, we move into a member meeting next, but I like to have a transition, and I love music as a transition, and since it's December, I am playing holiday music. So, well, here's a song about December. We'll just play this one. This is by Christina Perry, and it's called Something About December. So I'll play this tune, and then when this tune is done, we will begin our monthly member meeting. So here is Something About December. Thank you.
tree. Mama's whistling takes me back again. There's something about December. We're hanging mistletoe and hoping that it snows. I close my eyes and then I can still remember how to get back home. Let all your memories hold you close, no matter where you are. You're not alone because the ones you
Christmas is in you.